Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Evening Chai with JSS, brought to you by Jaffrey Support Services of ISIJ in Toronto. I'd like to begin by welcoming you all and sharing with you who are we as Jaffrey Support Services. We are a community-based social services organization committed to enhancing the social fabric of our community through educational workshops and professional counseling services. Our counseling services include marriage, parenting, communication, and relationship issues, adult survivors of childhood trauma, sexual, physical, emotional abuse, stress, anxiety, depression, PTSD, substance abuse, addictions, loneliness, isolation, personality, gender identity, and religious and spiritual issues. One of the branches of Jaffrey Support Services is TFAP, Special Needs Support Network, Mommy Connections, and Shia Matchmakers. You'll find that we are continuously working on these areas to support you as our community. What's Mommy Connections? Mommy Connections is an initiative that took place and started up in 2019. Mothers of children with special needs, fertility support, and for single mothers. You can always look up Mommy Connections on our website at joffrey.org. And the most important part is, how can you contact us? We have our social workers. We have Sister Sakina Qasim, who is a psychosocial services coordinator and psychotherapist. She can be reached at her landline at 905-695-1579 or her work cell 647-298-1556. Her email address is also listed there. We also have our other a social worker as Saba Mir Said Nazari. She too can be reached at her work cell at 647-539-0050. And her email is also listed there. These two individuals are highly qualified support for us at Jaffrey Support Services and for you in our community. And now that you know who Jaffrey Support Services is, I'll introduce myself. I am Sister Selma Caesar, and I'm a community member of Jaffrey Support Services. And tonight we are bringing to you live, we're bringing you is to today Islam and today Islam as the role of a father in today's world. It's been a really challenging time. And we felt that this is a topic that is important for all of fathers to hear, to learn, and to understand what's going on in this time that we're in. We are in the middle of a pandemic, and we have had to pivot as parents, as moms, dads, working individuals. Whether you're single, doesn't really matter. We're all affected. And the main thing here is that families have spent more time together now than ever before, and they're learning more about each other. And this has shown how families can really pivot, come together, and become part of the virtual world that we're into today. And as a father, your role has changed as well. Today, you're at home. You're not getting up early morning and driving to work or taking the subway. You're at home getting into a room with other people around you, such as your family, which generally you leave at home and come back to in the evening. And today you're finding yourself working and having to deal with maybe noises during your meeting. Maybe your wife is around, things are being asked of you, and you're just not sure how to get into it. And maybe you haven't by yet, and maybe you have. So tonight we'll be speaking to you on this topic. And we have been very fortunate enough to have our special speaker, Sayyid Asad Jaffrey, with us. He has been extensively known to be speaking on this topic. And his background is that he was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And after completing his bachelor's in the IT field, he pursued his Hausa studies in Qom, Iran in 2004, earning a second bachelor's degree in the field of Quranic sciences. He is currently pursuing his master's degree in Islamic theology from the Islamic College in London. He currently resides in Toronto, where he serves the greater Islamic community. Welcome, Sayyid Asad Jafri.
Thank you very much, Sister Salma, and may Allah bless you and the rest of the team for putting on such a beautiful event. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وهو خير الناصر ومعين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to gather like this and to speak about a very important discussion, a very important topic. As was mentioned, we are in unique times, and the way that this pandemic has affected every single family is different. There are some who have flourished, there are individuals who have come together, there are families that have strengthened, then there are those that might be a little bit confused, or perhaps, they have broken away from their routine a little bit. And so, they don't really kind of find their groove or their niche or their vibe at home. They're used to, of course, their commute, and they're used to their morning routine, and that's kind of all been disturbed. And so, it's important that these discussions happen. And it's important that we open up these very sensitive topics. Now, to give you some idea, the timing of this program is 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern. Right now it's 8:45. So I'm gonna speak for about 25 minutes, maybe max 30 minutes. And then I really wanna give about 15, 20 minutes for Q&As. The topic that's on the flyer has to do with fathers. Now, my approach tonight won't be a bashing session. It won't be a session where, I'll call out the fathers. It will be, a reminder through the lens of course, the Ahlul Bayt and some traditions. And more importantly, to kind of address very specific things. It's a very broad topic, right? Fatherhood and how to be a good father, how to be an involved father in a pandemic, outside of a pandemic. I could really spend 10 nights in Muharram talking about, this topic alone. So let me first of all start off with the beautiful words of the Ahlul Bayt. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, his treatise on rights, he has written and compiled something called Risalatul Huquq. Okay, it is one of, if not the very first formal declaration of human rights. Before the UDHR of 1948, or what France and America put together after World War II, which is now apparently a universal code of human rights. Before all of that even happened, Imam Sajjad went through the various rights that people and things and organs and et cetera, have over us. And one of them is that he has a discussion on the right of the father. Now, this, of course, is from the child to the father. Our focus today will be the father to the child. But it's important that we as fathers, now all of you, assuming most of you know me, I am a father myself of three. I'm now a father of a teenager. So please, khas duas out there for me. 13, 7, and 5 are my three kids. And I'm in there right along in the trenches with all of you, trying to navigate through this pandemic. I haven't been on a plane, I think, in maybe 14 months. Otherwise, usually every 6 weeks, I'm at the airport. And, while I have absolutely loved being home and really seeing firsthand, what happens on a day in and day out basis, it hasn't been easy for a lot of families. Anyways, so, whatever I say tonight, it's not like I haven't experienced it or experiencing it right now. Depending on who right now is tuning in, of course, there are fathers of infant children. There are fathers of teenage people. There are maybe fathers who are grandfathers. I don't know. But all of this is universal, and there are principles that need to be applied, pandemic or no pandemic. Imam Sajjad says, the right of your father. Now, it's important that you understand how the Ahlul Bayt see the father themselves. And, you know, tonight will be a little bit of a gut check for a lot of us. A little bit of an accountable moment for us dads. To find out, okay, where are we at? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? You know, one thing I want to mention, I have so much to say tonight, and there's, you know, not a lot of time, and I might be scattered, but there are a lot of points I want to get out. And that is that, you know, you need to find your path of fatherhood, okay? You don't need to do things because your wife is telling you, or you don't need to do things because, you know, you saw other dads do them. And, you know, everyone has a unique style of parenting, mother or father, right? And that unique style of parenting is a direct reflection of your personality, right? So embrace that, okay? I'm not asking you tonight to be someone you're not. I'm asking you to discover the parent inside of you, not inside of anybody else, not inside of a version of a father that your wife wants you to be, or a version of your father that your kids want you to be, or a version of, no, the version of a father that you see yourself as. Because just like, you know, to a certain degree, of course, just like we have this idea that a mother now innately now loves her child. And yes, it is very blatant in Islam that a mother is three times higher in terms of levels than that of a father. There's no doubt about that, and there really is no debate about that. But there also is an innate style of parenting and nurturing inside of a father as well. That can't be denied. Okay. There's something about when you hold your child, your newborn child, for the first time, that emotion that you never thought you had, feelings you never thought you had, you know, this mindset you never thought you could have, all of a sudden now comes in. Everything now changes. Everything you do, your intentions, your niyat, your focus, everything changes. I've seen guys literally overnight turn 180 because of the birth of their child. That's not because they feel they have to. That's something innate inside of you. So, you know, discover your style of parenting, but keeping some universal elements in mind that we'll talk about tonight. So he says that the right of your father, وَأَمَّا حَقُّ الْأَبِيكَ فَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ أَصْلُكَ وَإِنَّكَ فَرْعُهُ. No, he says, the right of your father, that you should know that he is your root and you are his branch. It's a very poetic way, very symbolic way of describing a father. That you are, as a father, as fathers, we are the roots of the tree, and the branches, of course, are our children. Very rarely do you see a tree that has strong roots and weak branches, or strong branches and weak roots. There is a direct correlation between the health of the tree, the health of the branches, what the branches actually end up, you know, giving out to society, be it in the form of fruits or be it in the form of, I don't know, green leaves or the health or whatever the case. Think about the idea of how you can tell if a tree is alive or not by the greenness of the greenness comes out of the branches, right? So the branches have to be able now to, you know, to export, to give out the greenness and the beautiful internal beauty of that tree that only comes when the branch feeds off of the roots. Okay. He goes on to say, whenever you see anything in yourself which pleases you, you should know that your father is the root of its blessings upon you. Now, one more point I have to make is this, that this is not a comparison tonight. Okay. Just because I say this about the father doesn't mean it doesn't exist inside the mother. Okay. So if you're sitting as a family right now, if you guys are all around one device right now, there's a father and a mother and the kids, please, please, I humbly ask you, do not make this into a bickering, you know, side stare, nudging of the elbow, you know, are you listening to him? Do you hear that? Like, we don't need that right now, okay? We don't need that right now. Right? If you are a father who you are sitting there right now on a random Wednesday night, putting up with someone like me, where you could be watching the Raptors try to snap their 9-game losing streak, then you know what? That's a good start. That's a good start, okay? We don't need to, you know, hoo and ha and huff and puff and make this process of, you know, torture for anybody else, okay? This is strictly about fathers. We can have a whole session on mothers one day someday, but tonight is about fathers, okay? So please, I just want to get that out of the way, okay? So the first thing that he says is that, look, you're the root. If you want to make your tree a healthy, fix yourself, okay? Fix yourself. Now, in terms of the actual sunnah and the seerah and the actual, you know, a practical example left behind for us to follow, I mean, there's no better example than the Holy Prophet of Islam, right? His treatment for his daughter is well documented. There's a hadith that we have from Salman al-Farsi. He would say this, and I want you to feel this, okay? He says, I did not see anyone who more resembled the messenger of Allah in the manner of speaking than Fatima, salamu alayha. When she came to him, very carefully, when she came to him, he stood up for her, made her welcome, kissed her hand, and gave her his seat. When the Prophet came to her, she stood up for him, took his hand, made him welcome, kissed him, and made him sit in her place. She came to him during his last illness, and he greeted her and kissed her. Okay. Now, a couple of things we get from this right away. Number one is that this is not about, you know, the Prophet of Allah to say the Fatima directly. This is not from one ma'asum to another. This is a father giving a daughter respect and love and affection, and a daughter returning that to her father. Okay? Which means that even when he was a little bit older, in his late 50s and 60s, he was affectionate towards his children. As a man approaches the Holy Prophet, says, Ya Rasulullah, I've never affectionately embraced my children. And I want to start there tonight. Affectionately embraced my children. And he says, a heart like yours, if continued like this, is not a heart that will be welcomed inside the gardens of heaven. Okay? Look, guys, the very first place I'm going to start off with, and I'm going to come right at you now and say that this is an era that we live in that's very dangerous. Please don't make the mistake of simply comparing the era that you were raised in to an era that now you're raising your kids. I really hope you can see the difference, okay? As was announced, I'm born and raised here. A lot of you who are logging in, you know me. You know me very well. Right? I come from a typical immigrant Pakistani family, right? Raised by a typical immigrant Pakistani father. Okay, I can count on one hand the times that my father was affectionate to me. It just wasn't his style. It's not what he knew, and that's okay. That's okay. But I can tell you that now that I'm a little bit older now, and you know, the beard is white and I got 3 kids of my own, you know, when I have those moments now where, you know, I have my anxiety moments and I have my mental health issues and things close in and things get overwhelming. And I actually, you know, somehow go back and I kind of retrieve those 4 or 5 moments where I could feel the touch of my father on me. I can feel his embrace. The moment that he would smile at me, the moment that he would say words of encouragement to me, the moments that he actually was proud of me and the warmth of his embrace would get me through those moments, even today. Now imagine if I had 25, 30, 35, 40 of those experiences, it really sets the tone for later on in the life when your child goes through those moments. Okay? So in this era now, as a family now, 2 of you, husband and wife, no kids. 3 of you, 1 child. I don't know, 4 of you, 2 kids. 6 of you, 4 kids. However many there are in your nuclear family, the one thing that is vital today is the cultivating of a family identity. Who are you guys? Okay. What kind of family are you? Those days are gone where you can be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. I'm sorry. I remember growing up, legit, we used to sit there and watch family comedy sitcoms as a family, my mom, my dad, me, and my siblings. Nice, clean humor, family humor that everybody, from my mom to my dad to me and my younger brother to all everybody in between, we would all kind of enjoy a laugh at. Nowadays, I can't sit there and watch a commercial with my kids. Forget a half an hour sitcom episode. So back then, I could say, okay, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know. Nowadays, it has to be a conscious cultivation of a family identity. What kind of kids do you want to raise? What kind of family do you want to be? Because nowadays I see a lot of confusion and, dare I say, hypocrisy, where on one side, you know, there's this and then there's posts like this and posts like that. And you're confusing yourself, you're confusing your kids for sure. And you're somehow trying to get the best of both worlds. And I'm asking you to stop doing that. Pick a side, pick a path, and cultivate that identity. If you want to be somebody that's a God-fearing family, a pious family, a family that's worthy of the imam's selection, then you have to cultivate that identity. That means sacrifice inside the home. Yes, you can't go where everyone goes. You can't watch what everyone watches. You can't sit there and spend your free time the way everyone else spends their free time. That's a sacrifice. It's a compromise for a value that's higher than what you're sacrificing. And the cultivation of that identity, the paving of the path, the paving of where you want to go, all starts from the father. We got to step up, guys. We got to be the leaders of our families. We like the fact that when people like me and the members say, yeah, you know, the men are the leaders. They're the ones that have the steering wheel. Yeah, I told you, I'm the man. And the problem, not sure why I grunted, but the problem is that, you know, we want to accept the leadership as fathers, but we don't quite understand the responsibility behind it. We are, as fathers, when I say we, I mean fathers, we are in charge of getting our families to heaven. We are in charge of making sure that our families pray and fast, avoid haram, this and that, and not be those who, God forbid, instigate those satanic actions. I'm not the one as the father, God forbid, turning on the music. I'm not the one who goes to sleep at adhan time. I'm not the one who doesn't care about the fact it's Thursday night, it's Tuesday night, it's, I don't know, it's Imam Hussein's wuladat, it's Imam Hussein's shahadat, doesn't matter. It's a typical day, a normal day. No, it's me. If we want the leadership, if we want to sit on that throne and be served our tea, that comes with a huge responsibility. God will ask us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusikum wa ahlikum nara. The Quran says, oh, you who believe, protect yourself and your ahl and your family from the fire. I want you to ask yourself tonight, as a father, ask yourself, where do I want my family in 20 years? So many calls I get from parents saying, you know what? I just want my kid to be religious. I said, bhai, or Sayyid Asad, what do I do? You know, I put him in Sunday school, I send him to camps, he's been to Karbala a few times. Great. Those are all kind of big moments, kind of, you know, big events. And that's not where the perfection is. Sorry. The beauty and perfection are the everyday little acts of worship inside the home. That can't be found in Karbala, can't be found in some Madrasa building, can't be found in some mosque, found in your four walls. The house that you're trying to now uphold. So I always give the same answer, and they're like, yeah, I get it. But I always say, if you want your child to be pious, become pious. It's no magician, no magic trick up here, nothing. You know, especially if you have young kids. Oh my God, if you have young kids, they are sponges. They will absorb the environment that they're around. Why? Because, you know, if you guys are fathers, like I have a five-year-old, man, and my five-year-old shadows me wherever I go. Baba this, baba that. Baba this, baba that. And that's just how kids are, right? After, you know, during a certain age, they want to walk like their parent, talk like the parent, eat like the parent, dress like the parent, right? If the mom's wearing abaya to the mosque, she wants to wear abaya. If you're, you know, if the dad's wearing a long jubba or dastasha or kurta, then the son will want to do that. Absolutely. At that moment now, they look at you almost as if you're God to them. You shoot a basket, goes right in, and you're just like, you know, oh my God, my dad shot that basketball. You catch a football that he threw with one hand. Oh my God, my dad caught that football. Right? At that moment now, they want you to give them whatever they can. Okay? So cultivate an Islamic identity, number one. Ask yourself, what kind of kids do I want? What kind of family do I want? Do I want a household of yelling and screaming and obscene language? Do I want a household where I'm constantly disrespecting my wife in front of my kids? Teaching my children how to disrespect women. Teaching my children it's okay now to make the wall shake when I raise my voice. It's okay now to be an angry dad. And then wondering when he gets married and he starts out with his kids, I wonder where he gets it from. Why is our son so angry? Why is our son treating his wife like that? How come, you know, whenever I see my daughter-in-law, she's at her mom's house? Ask yourself. Because one thing that fathers can do is they can either create a pattern of behavior or destroy a pattern of behavior. Because remember, the first parenting course that we have all gotten is from our parents. If your child sees you as a father, treating your wife with respect and love, okay, making her laugh, bringing her a cup of tea, right, bringing her some flowers, treating her with respect, okay, then not only will he have love for you because you have love for his mother, but now that's all he'll know, and he'll do whatever he knows. I mean, this idea that physical abuse right now is so common inside of our communities, amongst young couples born and raised here in the West. I thought that stuff sometimes was made for the villages of India, Pakistan, or Africa. But then, you know, when you find out and you really kind of dig deep, you figure out, okay, this was a kid who was beaten as a child, came from a very abusive household, a very angry household, and simply just cut and pasted. That's it. Having kids isn't a checkbox, guys, right? Having kids isn't, okay, well, we got married 3 years. Okay, it's about time to have a kid. Wait a second now. you have a live human being with you, okay, that you have to teach everything, not only how to walk and talk, but how to live a pious life with ethics and morals and values. Not easy. Okay? So if you are somebody who was raised in a very angry household, scared of your father, a lot of yelling and screaming, disrespect of your mother, God forbid physical abuse to you and your siblings, then you have a choice to make as a father. Now that you're the father, you can either repeat that behavior or you can stop that pattern of behavior and create a new pattern of behavior of love and respect, of modesty, of affection, of laughter, where there's not four roommates in one home, there's one cohesive unit inside of that family. And this is a pandemic. A lot of you are working from home. It's great, right? Like no commute, extra hour of sleep, right? All of that stuff, you know, all you got to do is make sure from this side up, you're wearing the proper clothes, right? That's it. Lunch at home, maybe Jamaat prayer at home, you know, helping your child do homework. So many dads call me saying, you know what, Sabai, we love it, man. It's been amazing. I've really bonded with my kids. Then there are those fathers that are lost. What do I do? Where do I start? First of all, just ask. Just ask. Be there. Be present. Get, you know, give off a vibe like you want to be involved. Okay? Because we know as men, we're horrible at hiding our emotions. If we don't want to be there, people will figure out this guy doesn't want to be here. If you don't want to help your kids with homework, it's pretty obvious. If you don't want to sit there and help set up for dinner or clean up after dinner, it's pretty obvious. If you don't want to sit there and make sure, you know what, we got people coming over, let's scrub the house up and down, and you don't want to do it, pretty obvious. But the moment that you give the vibe, like, no, I'm here, I'm involved, let's do this, you know, we're good. You sweep, I'll mop, you know, you do the math, I'll do the science, blah, 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 this and that, right? I got morning routine, you got night routine, I'll make the lunches, blah, everything. Then no one's gonna sit there and say, no, you know what, I'd rather you not give. No, everybody can use the help nowadays. Provided, of course, that you're given a chance to kind of figure things out. Yeah, you're not used to it. If, especially for somebody who works 10, 11 hours a day outside of the home, and you come home at night when your kids are on the, you know, on the verge of falling asleep. Okay? I got about 10 minutes left. So we're going to cultivate a family identity, number one. Okay? Status quo, just kind of going along with the flow, is not going to cut anymore. I'm sorry. It's not. There are too many satanic devices out there that are too heavy, too strong, too enticing for us to not get our game up. If you want to create a household of piety, if you want, you know, I want my kids to be religious, then you got to step up and lead the way. Time for Salat. Put on the Adhan on some YouTube channel or on the JCC app and just, you know, close everything off. Make it a rule. Everything stops at the time of Salat. Number two, create or destroy a pattern of behavior. Okay? Number three, and I already said this to you, fostering respect for women inside of your home. Giving your daughter the confidence that she needs. Self-worth is huge. You know how many guys my age, maybe a little bit younger, they struggle at their jobs, they struggle in their marriages, they struggle in their own kind of space because they don't have confidence. They have zero confidence. The moment that things don't go the way, or the moment they feel like the person in front of me is disappointed, they bounce, they run, they take off, they hide. Forget it, I'm gone. Because I was always told that you'll amount to nothing. You're nothing, you're a loser, you're a zero. And those echoes, you know, those words echo. And I mean, I read it last year in Muharram, first thing on the JCC member, I talked about the dignity of a child. Discipline the child, absolutely. You're the authority figure, right? You lay down the rules. This is your house. You're the sheriff in town, no doubt about it. But not at the expense of the dignity of your wife, their mother, or your children. Sorry. I mean, parenting obvious 101. Year one of parenting is that you don't disrespect each other in front of the kids. That's obvious. If you don't think they're listening, oh, these kids, man, I swear they have 10 ears. They hear everything. Oh, but do you remember that time last week when you said that you were looking to buy? How did you, like, this person was in a different room with the door closed. Okay. You got to foster respect for women inside the home. Teach your son at least, for sure, to respect his sisters, respect his mom. When his mom enters the room, stand up, ask for a glass of water, give her your chair, whatever the case may be. Such that when he one day has his home, he'll respect the women inside of his house. And your daughter-in-law will call you and say, you know what? You raised an amazing son. Thank you very much. As opposed to, I'm dropping your man-child son off at your house. Can you please give him some training and send him back when he's ready? I've had too many phone calls like that, by the way. Okay? So we're not going to be individuals who are going to foster this disrespecting of women inside of our home, making it common, blah, blah, blah. That's how I grew up. You know, it was good when I grew up. It wasn't good when you grew up. Don't repeat that behavior. And the final thing is that using words of encouragement as a father, okay? And again, this is no comparison. It's almost as if psychologically the kids kind of expect it. I mean, in a typical scenario, I know I'm being very general here. I don't mean to generalize, but typically women are softer in terms of their heart, right? They're more loving, they're more caring. They're also sometimes more strict, right? Because they're the ones, you know, who want to create a certain, you know, style of child with a certain set of characteristics and values and morals. And so words of encouragement, words of love, and words of, you know, affection are kind of expected from the mother. It's when the father kind of stops in his tracks and stops the child in his tracks and makes it a moment. Remember, it's not just about paying the mortgage, guys. it's not even about being around. Like, I'm around, but you're not present, right? You might be in the room watching the game, or you might be there, you know, buried in your phone. You might be physically in the room, but you're not present. We need fathers who are present, okay? Who know everything that's going on, who know when, you know, their 7-year-old child has a quiz next, who knows, of course, you know, what their grade 7 child science fair project is, the topic is, you know, who knows, okay, we're about to run out of milk, let me go make a run to the store, who can see, okay, you know what, the house is closing in on me, let's kind of put a load of laundry in, who can see that, you know what, my wife is having one of those, you know, she needs a mental health day, so let her shut down for a while, or give her moments, right, and let me kind of step up, right? Those are fathers who are present. I don't mean physically. I mean present. When you're present, you create moments with your children, moments that will last a lifetime. I'll tell you one story and then we'll open up the floor to a question. One story, a personal story of mine. I remember we used to live in the apartment in Scarborough, okay? True story. 3-bedroom apartment, and you know, my parents were in one room and me and my older brother shared another room. I remember Saturday mornings were my favorite mornings. Besides the amazing cartoons that were clean back then, there was this one special moment that is always on reserve for me in my head and my heart. And sometimes when I need, when I need a boost, I go back to these moments. And it was the same moment that would happen over and over and over again. And this moment was this, that Saturday morning, I'd wake up, no school, of course, everyone's home. It was the best day of the week for me. And I would, you know, early riser, you're excited, you jump out of bed, it's really quiet in the hallway, quiet in the apartment, I think everyone's sleeping. My parents would have their doors slightly open, and I would, of course, approach that room. Because there's nothing better than jumping into your parents' room on a Saturday morning. So I would stand there, I would kind of peek, I just, you know, one eye into the room like this, you know. And I would wait to hear the magic word, magic word. And the magic word was my father's booming voice telling me, Ajal, Ajal, come in. Meaning what? He's awake and he's actually telling me to come jump in his bed. I'm like, woo, slammed the door. I couldn't get there fast. Slammed the door open, went running in, jumped in with 2 feet like a cannonball right in between my mom and my dad. And my dad would give me a hug and then he would begin to what? Play fight with me. He clotheslined me, headlocked me, sometimes picked me up and dropped me, blah, blah, blah. And the day would start. Those 5, 6, 10 minutes of play fighting with my dad, affection, that's the this and that. You know, sometimes I would, you know, I would try to, you know, like shove him. Oh, okay, big guy, right? Those were the moments that now, I'm talking about now, would pull me out of my quicksand sometimes. The moment that I would hear the ajao was a trigger of the moment of an experience that has lasted now easily 3 decades. 4 decades, probably. Okay. Create moments with your children of affection, of love, of self-worth, of self-confidence. Stop and tell your daughter how beautiful she is in hijab. Stop and tell your son that, you know what, I can't wait to see what you're going to amount to. Tell your kids that I cannot believe that God gifted me these children of mine. I have the best 3 or 4 kids that any parent could ask. I'm telling you, it's not just about that moment. That will resonate with them for decades after. And you could be long gone in your next journey in the hereafter. They will take those moments and those words and they will use that as a crutch sometimes. When this dunya and this world beats them down to the ground, they'll use your words as a cane to prop themselves back up. Give them those tools, man. Be an involved father. Be a present father. Not physically, emotionally, spiritually. To the point where when you're gone, it's like, oh, Baba, where's Baba? Baba's not here. They miss you. They want you around. Not that Baba's here or not here. Oh, I didn't know you were here. But no, no. So guys, in closing and the questions. Number one, the cultivation of an identity. That's us as leaders. We have to take our families towards heaven. Figure that out between the 3 of you, 4 of you, 6 of you. Number two, cultivating respect inside the house, especially for your wife in front of your kids, for your daughter, giving her the self-worth, the confidence to be able to be a believing sister in this world. If she wants to wear hijab, a muhajjaba girl that will be proud of her deen, right? Raise your boy to be the leader of tomorrow. Show him through words and your own actions, this is how a man runs his house. Not just mowing the lawn, man, not just, you know, balancing the budget, but how to always be the mature one, the in control one, the present one. And then give them moments and experiences. Be present. Take the initiative. Look for things to be done. Don't wait to be told, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? No. You know, be somebody who is showing initiative. You'll see that the entire environment inside of your home will change. Okay, inshallah. So let's open the floor for questions. I'm not sure how, you know, they want to do that, but inshallah, Sister Salma is back right on time. So I'll let her chime in. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sayyid Asad Jafri. I'd like everyone to please recite aloud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
So much. It was a very enlightening and very a lot of information you gave us. And so we're going to turn now to the questions that we've received on Menti, which I will share with you. And we do, alhamdulillah, have quite a few of them, so we'll try to get through them in time. So the question here we have is, how do we maintain, distinguish, and reflect Islamic masculinity as fathers, especially in a time when others are denying gender differences or talk about toxic masculinity?
Yeah, you know, we have to always resort back to the teachings of Islam. Look, you know, there hasn't been a single thing that Islam has left behind, okay? Everything has been discussed. Everything has been thoroughly analyzed. We have 250 years of perfect lives to follow from the moment that the Prophet of Allah now migrated to Medina to the moment that our Imam went to Ghibat, okay? You know, we love to hear the war stories of Imam Ali. We love to kind of have that feel-good moments of him ripping a door of Khaybar. And those are all great for sure. But there was an aspect of him as a father and him involved inside of the home and how he used to sweep and help say the Fatima knead the dough and raise the kids and play horsey with his sons. And you talk about that, and that's, you know, blasphemous sometimes, right? I mean, let's stick to Imam Ali, the warrior and the soldier, not Imam Ali, the father. So let's not get caught up into these things, right? You know, let's understand that there's already been a blueprint left behind. We simply have to follow it. We don't need to, you know, worry about these labels and these flash words and you know. Sorry, I mean, with all due respect to everything else out there, we're not somebody who's been left alone. All the teachings have been left for us to simply implement and execute inside of our life.
Thank you for that, Sayyid Asad. So really, it's everything's been given to us. It's up to us to take control and to lead our lives based on what the element has taught us.
Yeah, I find sometimes people just kind of like, you know, well, you know, let me just kind of guess. You don't have to guess, man. Everything's already there. Like, you know, inshallah. I'm trying to keep my answers short.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I am with you on that. We have another question, which we'll move on to. Sure. As a son and father, how do you prioritize over one over the other? For example, your elderly mother needs help and company, and your children also demand your time and attention and energy.
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, and if you had the luxury, and I'll say the word luxury, of having your mom live with you, because I really believe that that elder and senior inside of your home does wonders for you and for your kids, you know, then it's actually a little bit easier to balance your time. It's more challenging, I find, maybe I'm wrong, when you don't have your mom living with you, like I don't, she's with my younger brother, you know, then, you know, it becomes a little bit of a challenge. What I try to do is, in just personal experience, I try to kind of combine the two, right? So maybe take my kids to go see grandma, sit with grandma, you know, they can kind of enjoy grandma's house. And I'm also with grandma catching up with my mom, right? I get to spend time with my mom. She gets to see me. The kids get to, you know, get to have a ride with dad. On the way home, of course, there's a Timmy's run, right? Got to grab an ice cap, got to grab some Timbits. The kids are happy. Mom is happy. And of course, you know, I'm happy. So we can try to do that. Be a little bit creative. Otherwise, I find that, hopefully, I find that today's even, you know, grandmothers, meaning, I mean, our moms are now older. They understand, okay, look, you know, my son has his own life and his own kids, you know, and, you know, but it is important that, you know, we can be creative and combine to, you know, both of them together, inshallah, and hopefully, you know, keep both of them happy. But it is a challenge for sure. On top of that, you know, your wife also has some rights over you as well, right? So sometimes you do get pulled a lot, you know, different ways, but so does your wife, right? I mean, if she can manage, then so can you as well, right? As a husband.
Thank you. And I think you've clearly defined the difference that, as we all assume that the women get pulled, but the men also are being pulled, and do have those same responsibilities and obligations to be in the same places.
Right, right. Absolutely. I agree. Yes.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to move on to our next question. Sure. And as just before we do that, I just want to let everybody know that they can go to menti.com to ask their questions using code 22797847. Okay, and the next question is, what is a child's obligation to their father who abandoned the family?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, that was actually, it was asked of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And I, you know, it's always easier on people like me when the Ahlul Bayt have already answered the question for them. You know, remember, there is a big difference between respecting your parents and following your parents, right? So Islam says that even if your parents worship idols, don't follow them, of course, but always respect them. You're never to raise your voice, hatta, even if they are the mushrikeen. So there are certain ways that we have to, and you know, accept the fact that people are not perfect. People do run from responsibilities. People refuse to step up. You know, they take off on their family. It's a horrible experience. I wish that upon nobody. So at that moment, you know, trying to now reach out and force yourself and try to force a connection with your father who wants nothing to do with you may not be for your own sanity, for your own self-worth, may not be the best thing to do. But if ever you were to come across him or see him somewhere or run into him, then of course you maintain your respect. So let's draw the fine line between, you know, parents are not masoom. We don't need to follow them. If tomorrow your mom says, take off your hijab, or your dad says, stop praying salat, of course, we can say, I'm sorry, I can't follow you there. But we say it respectfully, right? Same idea, you know, there's a lot of anger involved. You know, you left mom alone. When we need you the most, you took off on us. You know, there has to be some anger, some resentment, some hatred. But we try to kind of swallow that, put that aside, you know, fight that urge to blast him and maintain that respect. Because after all, you know, he is, of course, you know, your father.
Thank you. Yeah. So bottom line, as you said, they are our parents, regardless of what actions they may take in their life. We must maintain that respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. Our next question is, what are the most important characteristics that a father should have and soon to be father should work on?
If you ask me, the greatest thing a father can be is soft, is patient, and is loving. I am a huge advocate of the fact that the father has to be always the mature one, the one who always takes the higher road, the one who always looks to de-escalate things, the one who always tries to inject love and compassion inside of the home, right? Cultivates love with his spouse and his children, right? He has to be that magnetic force inside the home where everyone gravitates towards him. When he's inside of, you know, when they hear that Baba's also taking part in game night and Baba's going to play charades and Baba's going to sit there and play, I don't know, Battleship, then their eyes light up, right? When they know that, you know what, Baba's coming to the park also with us, their eyes light up, right? Because he's always what they say, the ronak of the family, right? They say in Urdu, right? That you know, and that's one of those words I don't have English for, but that light, that kind of central figure, right? And that comes from a loving heart. Like, you know, I go back to the way the Prophet of Allah would treat his daughter. It's unreal, unreal. The love that Imam Hussein showed his children on the day of Ashura, unreal. Crying, chasing behind the horse of Ali Akbar, embracing him for such a long time. That's a father who's a 57-year-old father with a 20-some-odd-year-old son, right? Why can't we use these as examples for us, for the Ahlul Bayt, right? Be a soft father, man. Be a loving, compassionate father. Be a gentle father, right? Not the one where, you know, if they hear you walking, you know, up down the stairs, they, you know, they out of fear now, they run like, you know, no, right? I think that if we can be gentle and almost godly-like in terms of our mercy and our forgiveness and our compassion, they'll gravitate towards us. Once they gravitate towards us, we can absolutely cultivate that identity I talked about in my talk.
Okay, thank you. So once the here's another question for you. Sure. Once the kids, and I've got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
And we'll work on our time as well.
No problem.
Once the kids turn a certain age, the father-kid relationship turns into a father-friend relationship.
Yes.
Where do you know to draw the line when this happens?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And again, we go back to our imams, right? I cannot say enough. They've already left behind a blueprint. The 777 famous hadith of Imam Sadiq, you know, is one that has to be understood. It's been discussed so many times. I get it. That's usually in the last stage of the seven, where the child now is a teenager, 15, 16, 18, 19. You know, in terms of formal tarbiyat and nurturing, what you could do, what you should have done, what, you know, what you were able to do, all happened from 0 to 13. Okay, that's really where the majority chunk of the values, be it the spiritual values, academic values, respect to the family values, all that happened in those 13 years. That's why if any of you out there have kids under the age of 12, 13, like I do, they are, you know, they're right now at a prime age for you to give them as much as you can. Because once they turn 15 and 16, you know, it shifts, right? And now, you know, they become, you know, and again, I worry about the term friend, because then, you know, I find sometimes, you know, especially modern day fathers, you know, an attempt to be a friend, they sometimes lose that respect factor, right? And I get it. You're trying to befriend your son, and you're trying to, you know, and sometimes I've even heard fathers tell their sons, oh yeah, when I was your age, you know, this was the latest rock band I would listen to, and my buddies would go down to this concert and that. And I'm like, look, you know, how far are you going to go, right? You can't normalize satanic behavior, even if we did it as children. So, you know, a friend, meaning that Imam Sarsism, now they are your advisor, meaning they're worthy of not only seeking, giving advice, they're also worthy of taking advice as well, right? And that's when, you know, now what's meant by befriending your child is that you actually use him as a partner in the way the house runs, okay? So, you know, that's when, you know, major decisions should be made with him beside you, okay? Major errands can be run with him beside you. You can now delegate certain responsibilities to him, right? He goes from somebody that, you know, became somebody who was your dependent. He still is your dependent, but now, you know, you have a level of dependency on him as well, right? That's where I think it's important. Mind you, till your last breath, you are the parent. You know, I tell all the time, you know, my mom, mashallah, Allah give her long life, you know, I'm the father of three. She knows that. She still tells me up until this day, you know, Jaake salam bolo, go say salam to that person, go say salam to that person, you know, this and that. I go, mom, I know. She's like, and she would kind of kid. She goes, I don't care who you are, what you are, how old you are, I am always going to be your mom. I expect her to be her mom, right? If somebody passes away, she'll call me. Did you call him for condolences? I go, yes, I did, mom, right? If someone got engaged, you called him for mubarak. Yes, I did, right? And you know, those things will always happen. But of course, now, you know, the idea of the actual nurturing part, yes, it's changed. Now they're worthy of being delegated to, and make them feel like they belong inside the tribe. If I wish I had more time, there's so many more points, but you got to make them feel like they belong inside the tribe. They have a vital role inside the tribe. Once they understand that I play a vital role inside the tribe, they won't go here and there looking for that need to belong. They'll belong inside the home, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah.
I have one more question here, if we can do
that. 9:35 is good, sister. 9:35 is good. We started a little bit late. That's fine. 9:35.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
No problem.
How does the husband step up and lead the family if he has disabilities and has to depend on the wife and children? In this situation, the wife has to take the role of both parents.
Yeah. So I mean that to me is a special case. I mean, you know, again, depending on the severity of the disability, you know, maybe, you know, he's not able to physically do certain things, possibly work, possibly help out around the house, let's say, for example. but he can support her. He can encourage her. He can provide direction, do whatever he is capable of doing. I've seen a situation many, many times. And you know, the woman has to step up, and women do, right? Because that's what women do. They're superwomen like that. But you know, it is unfortunate, but I feel like, you know, when that happens to a family, everybody steps up. The kids understand that dad's out of commission. The wife understands that my husband's no longer that capable. But on the father's role, you know, it's disheartening, right? I mean, it's innate for a man to go out and work and hunt and feed, and you know, and for that to kind of be taken from him, it's difficult. So, you know, he has to fight those inner demons, and he has to fight that desire to go into this abyss of depression and this abyss of, you know what, I'm useless now, I'm nothing. You can still do a lot. You can morally support your wife. You can encourage her. You can love her the way you want to love her. And, you know, depending on, of course, the extent of your disability, you can actually do things around the house to the best of your ability. I find the moral support, right? The words of love, you know, the words of encouragement, you know, playing with the kids, affectionately holding the kids, all that play a huge role, Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was very well defined as a role of a father with a disability.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough question.
Yeah, it is. And it's a tough situation to be in, but alhamdulillah, Absolutely. There's always ways that we can take the elevators into our lives and move forward with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's go to one more question.
Sure.
What are your suggestions to prepare for a coming child, such as reading parenting books, watching lectures, etc.?
So this is where I'll be a little bit different. I find that you guys, especially new parents, if you are expecting parents right now listening to me, I feel like you probably have a longer list of resources than I do. You know what's out there. You're probably pretty active on social media, all sorts of great stuff out there. My advice to expecting parents are two things. Number one is that, you know, both of you have to work in harmonizing your lives together. It sounds massive, but I'm talking about things that you don't usually do. Make it a point to have a meal together. If the wife has to walk because, you know, to kind of alleviate from labor pains, the husband has to join her for those walks, right? If the wife, for example, you know, likes to have, you know, her night routine and maybe watch something or do something, then as a husband, you have to carve time out. Again, it's value and compromise, right? If the value is high enough, right? And anything that comes across to try to challenge that value, that can be compromised. Okay. Small things. I tell you, it's comical, but I don't joke. Like sports. I know guys that have to watch every sports game on TV from start to finish. Right. And, you know, the wife knows, look, don't bother him for four quarters or three periods. Right. As long as the game is on, he won't move from that. And then when you start to show her, look, if you want to go for a drive, if you feel cooped up, you know, people have a lot of anxiety when it comes to being home all day and every day, right? Especially here in Toronto now, the weather's warming up now, the sun is out a little bit, the snow is melting, you're starting to see the grass in your backyard. It feels good, right? And if you feel like your wife is kind of like, you know, having a little bit of a horrible day, can you imagine how it feels for her? You grab the remote and you turn off the game. And you grab her, don't even tell her, you grab her coat, you put it on, let's go for some ice cream. I'll get you Baskin-Robbins. Baskin-Robbins, not the cheap stuff, Baskin-Robbins, right? And, you know, I'll have a kid scoop, I'll get you a three scoop sundae, we're all good to go. The message you're sending her is that you are right now number one in my value world. Everything else is worthy of compromise, right? And I think that if you can begin now to bring this child into a harmonized world, the only world that child knows is you two. That's it, right? And if he or she is coming into a harmonized, I'll say it 1,000 times, harmonized, one path, love, compassion, respect, spirituality, piety, then that kid's going to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. But he's coming into, or she's coming into, you know, a house where there's two roommates on two different corners of the room, buried in their devices, eating at different times, praying at different times, sleeping in different rooms, then I don't know, you know, you can read all the, you know, You can read all the self-help and mommy-to-be and new parents, and you can watch all the gram videos you want. It's not going to work, right? So all those courses are there and you'll find them and you'll take them. That's great. But you got to strengthen your relationship together. I think that's obvious, but it's easier said than done for sure.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we have so many more questions here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Unfortunately, the time is not with us right now. And I just wanted to reiterate that the questions that have been asked and any other questions you may have regarding we have some questions here regarding to abuse questions.
Wow.
And anything else, please go to jss@joffrey.org and send in your questions there, and we'll be more than happy to address them for you.
Inshallah.
Now that unfortunately the time has come to an end, this was really a wonderful evening we've spent with you this hour. Unfortunately, it was only an hour. And I just wanted to also apologize to you and our viewers for the technical difficulties at the beginning. And thank you for your patience and for everyone else's. Yeah.
No, thank you very much. I know that I'm over time, but that's okay. I mean, a couple of minutes. I have the utmost respect for the JSS team. I say it whenever I'm part of their programs. You always have the honor of inviting me to these programs. I think that, when I travel at least up and down the continent, I don't think that there's a group out there that does as much as JSS does. And I just really, any way we can support this team, please do. It's an incredible team that works tirelessly and that works with the utmost level of piety to really, fix these major, major issues inside of our communities. I think this was a wonderful event. I really missed the cup of chai. It would have been a nice to have chai, evening with chai. But inshallah, one day, someday we will. But thank you very much for including me. If I can end with a small dua, inshallah, and then the master dua, we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our small efforts to try to become better fathers. I ask you, Allah, all those dads out there that are trying very hard, that you accept their efforts. Give them a little bit of inspiration, a boost inside spiritually. Let them know that they are the leaders of the household and that they are responsible to take their family towards salvation. Give them that himmat, that courage to be so. And I ask you, Allah, during this pandemic, to strengthen and bless our families, inshallah, such that they are worthy of Imam Mahdi's arrival, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sister Salma, and all the JSS team. Everybody, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so
much. Thank you, Hassan. Thank you. Thank you.
And as we close for tonight, at Joffrey Support Services, we are always looking to elevate the discussion in the community and help wherever it is needed. With that in mind, if you have any topics that you would like to see discussed in this format, please email jss@joffrey.org. Thank you all for listening. And we look forward to hearing from you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.